part of the service tonight. You will pray the services of blessing and help to them. Second Chronicles chapter number 7. I'm going to begin reading verse number 12. And if you're there, you can put back and say amen tonight. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend to the prayer that is made in this house. I felt today, as I read this little 15th verse over and over again today, God was telling that to me, and He's telling that to you, Christian. We're in that church or listening tonight. God said, my eyes right now are open, and my ears are attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Room Baptist Church, the 2492 Lincoln Farm Road, Hodgensville, Kentucky, 42748. There are two or three that are gathered together in His name tonight. He is in the midst. And God said, now my eyes are open and I'm watching and I'm beholding you. And my ears are open in attention to that prayer. I want to call your attention tonight to verse number 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of repentance. Let us pray. Most kind and righteous Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the word of God that liveth and abides forever. Lord, we're thankful that we are not as orphans in this world, seeking fatherhood from everything and everyone. We're glad that we've been adopted into the divine family of God, that we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that you've given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, we're grateful that when we pray, we can say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Father, tonight, as you listen and as you watch, Father, hear our prayer. Help us, Lord, to turn to Thee. Help us, Lord, to experience revival inwardly and corporately and nationally. Father, help us to turn to the spring from which we have begun, Lord. Help us to turn to the rock from which we have been hewn. Help us to seek the nail-pierced hands of our Lord and Master before it's too late. Lord, help us to repent and do that with pride in Thine eyes tonight. In Jesus we pray. And we all said, amen. You may be seated in the Lord's presence tonight. The word repentance means a radical change in your life, where you are orienting your life according to God. It is a spiritual, radical, and now I say emotional turning point in your life. It is a changing of directions. It is you going the wrong way. Something radical happens when you're going that direction, and then you turn around and you go the right way. It's when you're going down a godless path, a wicked path, an anti-Christian path, and something miraculous happens where you come to the knowledge of the truth. There is an awakening point in your life. You realize that you have sinned against God. And there is a turning, there is a repentance, there is a changing of heart, a changing of way. Maybe you are going the godless path and you turn around and you start going the godly path. You were going an unrighteous path, but you turned about and now you're going the righteous path. You were going down the wicked and godly road that leads to destruction. It's brought on as the way that leads to the wrath, but something miraculous happened. And God saved you, repented of thy sins. has repentance. Has repentance. We need to repent. We need to repent. Tonight I'm looking at you as your pastor, and I'm going to give you a heads up. You and I need to repent. Repentance is something that we do to be saved. I think you can't truly get saved unless you truly have repentance in your heart. God said, my people which are called to my name shall humble themselves. And pray and seek my face and turn, have repentance, and turn from their wicked way, that's repentance. Then when I hear from heaven and heal their land, I've got a newsflash for all of the world to hear. There is not going to be a national awakening, a national revival, a national turning God, unless there be a turning God, amen. Unless there be repentance, unless there be salvation in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Salvation is not the Lord. It's not in a president, and it's not in government, but it's in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, help me preach my Savior tonight. We might as well just get involved with God and determine in our hearts as believers. I don't care what side the world goes. I don't care what the world thinks it's going to do. I made up my mind. I'm going to live for God.
If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, God said, listen, I have full sovereignty. I call the shots. I'm in control. And let me remind you something, friend. Those of you watching this live tonight, I hope that you're watching and listening as well. Listen, church, and I want to tell you, if God decides to do to us as He wills to do, it is of His complete prerogative and control to do so. God is not taking my chance. He's not taking by surprise tonight. God knows everything that's going on in the world. He's sovereign. He's in control. God is not up in heaven waiting for Fox News to come on, honey. He knows what's on tomorrow before it even comes on. Somebody might know, say amen. Sometimes the church acts like they're scared to death of what's going to happen in July. I want you to know I don't know what's going to happen in July. But I know I hold it to the hand of the one that does know what's going to happen in July. Amen. They talk about all of a sudden there's something about aliens. It's something about a storm that's going to come across the Southeast to stand for. I don't care what tomorrow holds. I'm holding to the hand of Jesus. And He knows what's on tomorrow.
Well, that just makes you completely limited. Well, if that's what the world thinks, then think on, brother. I'm a happy husband of going on almost 20 years. I'm 34 years old. I'm in great physical health. My liver still works. I don't have mouth cancer. Amen! I'm not doing drugs and drinking liquor. I'm as happy as a kid with a dog tonight. I sleep at night like a baby sleeps at night. I have great peace in my heart. Praise God. Hallelujah, brother Joel. I threw some steak, pork, corn, and onion on the ground today before church. God's taking good care of me. And if the world thinks of me as crazy, they can bank on. They thought John the Baptist was crazy. They thought Jesus was crazy. And I think it's good for them to look at us every once in a while. And they get to wonder, are y'all crazy? No, we're not crazy. We're trusting in the Lord Jesus.
Well, that's what we're doing.
I'm just trusting in the Lord. My confidence is not placed on anything but Jesus tonight. Nothing but Jesus. Now I want you to know, Christian, Lord said, He's in control of the weather. He's in control of the buzz. And it says He's in control of the disease. Satan don't have total control. God has total control. Y'all get the message on here? Now God said, now listen, when my people act a fool, and they get out of line with me, and my covenant people in Israel start following after the gods of Baal, and they begin to forget me, and they begin to forsake me, and they begin to let their children marry those that are unequal to you, and they begin to look after the gods of Egypt, and they begin to look to the stars for their salvation and peace and comfort, when they begin to do all of these wicked deeds, and they turn their backs on me, God said, I've given you a warning, and God said, I'll heal your land.
Sounds like a good deal.
Right.
God said, if you'll just repent and turn to me, what would I be able to do for your land?
Now he says, mine eyes are open. Mine eyes are attentive to the prayer that is made in this place.
R is for repentance. This is something I think as believers you and I will do from time to time until Jesus comes back in our lives. Repentance is not something we do at the moment of salvation only. I think repentance is something that we do from time to time throughout our lives,
right,
until Jesus comes back. There is no time in our lives where we are constantly going in the correct path that God wants for us. But there will be times when God speaks to us and says, you are going the wrong direction here, and we need to repent and get right before that. Let me give you three things about the subject of repentance, and I hope you've been encouraged and blessed to you tonight, sir. Number one, we need the preaching of repentance. We need the preaching of repentance. You know, in Matthew, the gospel record according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, when you read the Bible and you read about Jesus and his preaching, you know what the first words of the gospel are? Repent. The first word of the gospel is repent and believe the gospel. Jesus went and preached everywhere. Repent and believe the gospel. Have a change. Turn away and turn to God. Forsake the things of the earth and turn to the things of heaven. Leave all the sins of the flesh and turn to the blessedness of the holy way of Jesus Christ. Repentance is a turning to God from sin. It's a radical and an emotional change that takes place in your heart and in your mind and in your life. And when Jesus came in this world 2,000 years ago, the gospel that he presented to the world is called repentance.
Luke chapter 15. Let me read this to you. You remember Jesus and me outside there, he would tell the folks that would come to present themselves as candidates for discipleship and such like. He'd say, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. He said, repent and believe the gospel. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, I believe this to be a beautiful verse of the scripture. I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. There is a joy in the presence of the angels tonight when one sinner repents according to the Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of repentance to Jesus was important. We were in Luke 24 last Sunday. We were talking about those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Amen. And we were in that chapter, and I want to read something else to you. Luke 24, 47. Jesus here is speaking to his disciples, and he said, thus it is written, thus when Christ suffered and arrived from the dead the third day, in that repentance, in Luke 24, 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be what? Preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Yeah. Missionary called today and said, you know, we're one of our supporting churches, we're missionaries to China. We're not even able to broadcast what we do for the sake of being persecuted, but we're trying to build disciples and build churches in China, the communist country. That's today tearing down crosses and persecuting those who bear the name of Jesus Christ and preach the message of repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus. Brother Howard, could we put down the date to come and preach and share our work with you at the church? And I'm excited to have some missionaries come through this year as the Lord leads me to break in to preach to us and encourage us and we support the great mission of preaching the gospel to all the world, amen, that there's no people group that has not heard the gospel. That is the will of God. Jesus said in Luke 24 and verse 47 that if you are a preacher and you're called to the Lord and not preaching, you go to a preaching church. Our job is to preach the message of repentance and remission of sin. Amen. Is preaching repentance important to Jesus?
Oh, yes.
The preaching of repentance, Jesus placed it upon His servants. In the early church, according to Acts chapter 5 and verse 31 tonight, Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, the Bible says, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. These are the apostles here, suffering persecution, stepping up in the early church, and they were preaching the word of God, and they said, our job here is to preach and offer to you the prince and the savior to give repentance of sins. So I'm asking you tonight to consider this, that we need preaching of repentance today. It was something that was important to Christ. It was something that Jesus gave to the servants and preachers of the early disciples and apostles, that they were to preach repentance. And it's something that in the book of Acts, we see all the way through the book of Acts, there was this preaching theme, this theme of repentance. Acts chapter 11, verse 18 would support that. Acts chapter 20, towards the end of the book, in verse 21, this is a wonderful little verse here, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what salvation is? It's repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. You know what salvation is? It's repentance towards God and it's faith towards Jesus Christ. You know what salvation is really all about? If you say that you're sorry and you've done wrong and that you're a sinner, you need to be saved, and that you have offended the thrice holy God to whom you must give an account, and you don't want to die and go to hell, I'm saying it's repentance towards God. It's your faith towards Jesus Christ. This is what the early church did. They preached repentance. The last time the word repentance, now the whole word repent, not the word repent, but I'm just giving you a little something here. The last time the word repentance is used, it is used in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 in your New Testament. And I'm going to read it to you. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some may account slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, W out, church, but that all should come unto repentance. That's the last time the word repentance is used in the New Testament. God today has not slack concerning His promise, but He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. How they don't come to repentance if we don't have preaching? I'm telling you what, God has convicted my heart. He has stirred my spirit. He has convicted me tonight. I stand before God legally as a sinner, and I need to get right with God. There are times in my life where I know I'm saved. I know I need to be accepted as the beloved. I was baptized in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I was received into the fellowship of the church. I was called into the gospel ministry. I was accepted by the church and ordained into the gospel ministry at the age of 19. I was early preaching in the nursing homes and the prisons and on the streets and in the churches. God has been a blessing to me, and I hope that I've been a blessing to Him. I know I've been saved. I know I've been baptized in the Spirit. Amen. I know God loves me with an everlasting love. And I know that right now, as God calls me home, that I'm ready to go, that I'm rapture ready, praise God. And I know that I've been accepted in the beloved. But if you were to ask me in my personal walk with God, has there ever been a time where I needed to repent of indwelling sin in my life? I would be the first to tell you, yes, yes, yes. There's been more than one occasion where God has had a prick in my heart, Mr. Reba. And He said, you've got some ill feelings here, Brother Howard. That is not the will of God for you to have those ill feelings. And I've had to repent and get right with God. There's been some times God said, you don't love the world and the people that you should the way that you should. And God has had to convict me. And I've had to repent of that ill hatred in my heart. There are many times in the Christian life where we're going to, from time to time, need to repent. Why are we hear preachers talking about repentance? Why do we hear churches preaching the message of the gospel that involves repentance? Because we want to be all professors. We don't want to offend you. We don't want to be too religious. We don't want to be too hardcore on the Bible. Friends, if Jesus called me to preach repentance, that's what we're going to preach here, amen. And Jesus said, just stick with the old worms. They'll catch the old fish, amen. Put some sink bait on there, praise God. Just stick with the old stuff, the old path, the old ways, the old Bible, the old gospel. Preach the gospel of repentance to the lost and dying world. Now, when you look at these facts that I've presented to you tonight, objectively and unemotionally, you cannot walk away with the conclusion, repentance doesn't matter. You also cannot say, there is no place for repentance preaching in the Christian church. You actually walk away with the opposite conclusion, amen? I may say this, I would not belong to a church that did not deal with repentance. Stop and think about that statement. I wouldn't go to a church that didn't talk about repentance, didn't preach repentance, didn't teach on repentance. I would not belong to a church that did not preach a gospel of faith and repentance. Why are you saying that? Because there's churches down here that look like they got all the big crowds and it's a man-centered ministry. They've made it and turned it into a people-centered business entity rather than a Jesus-centered, soul-winning Bible-preaching entity. It's not truly the pure church that God would have it to be. Remember, Jesus had 12 disciples. And through just 12 men, He turned the world upside down. What could God do with us? What could God do with us? I'm going to tell you something, friend. We need, in our country, in our lives, in our churches, in our world, repentance preaching. Yeah. Repentance preaching. All the old great movers and shakers and revivalists, I mean, you read them. You remember Stephen? They preach the message of repentance. Some of their sermon titles would say, turn or burn. There is a lake that burns with fire and brimstone, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. There is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth to those that reject the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And every lost man and every lost woman in the world that has made fun of you, Christian, and persecuted you, and cut you in the face, amen, and stabbed you in the back one of these grand days, you are going to stand before God, accepted into the beloved, and they will stand before God, not accepted into the beloved, and they will cry out for mercy. They'll cry out. And my friend, you responded to the gospel, but they did not respond to the gospel. And you will go into life everlasting, and they will go to the lake of burning fire and brimstone. My friend, thank God tonight for the repentance of the thing. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm telling you. We need gospel preaching that involves repentance. We need preaching that involves repentance. Turning to God. In the book of Genesis, we know that God created man in His image. Everything that we are, apart from sin, is God's image in us, made by God Himself. But in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, we read about people that lines up with the negative line, that are making God in their own image. Trying to make out a God that reflects who they think He ought to be when they got it backwards. The world needs to repent. The world. That's the message Christ preached to you. Repent and believe the gospel, and thou shalt be saved. Number two. Well, let me not leave that. There's a little problem in the Old Testament named Jonah. And Jonah was a funny, jealous man. He was an angry little prophet, you know? His heart's desire was, well, I don't want to go preach to the Assyrian Ninevites. Those Assyrians are wicked, cruel people. They're a bloody people, a violent people. I don't
Lord, I know that there's a big world power right now, and they need the gospel to be saved. I don't feel like doing it. I don't want them to be saved. God, I want them to die and cry in hell for their sins. That's what I think his heart was. So what did he do? He said, I'm going to Tarsus. The Lord wanted him to go this direction on the map. He got on the boat and went the complete opposite direction on the map, geographic. We know what happened. What happened? God sent that storm, kind of like he's talking about here in Chronicles. God's in control of everything. There were all kinds of things that God prepared. He prepared a great storm. God prepared a great fish. God prepared a great and even east wind in the fourth chapter. And he prepared for it. Oh, there's a lesson to do this there, but God prepares things that we don't think and understand any better. But all we have was God's plan to be his servant where he needed to be. How often does God send a little storm, a little trial in our life to get us where we need to be? What happened? Jonah was asleep on the boat, and here's this boat, they're in there throwing captain, dice, drinking blood, cutting the throats of chicken. They're sacrificing to everybody. God's trying to feed the bottom of this storm, and they knew it was there. They knew that this wasn't just an ordinary storm. Somebody got somebody mad up in this place, and that's why we're in all this trouble that day. And God, what I feel like America may be going through right now. And the Bible says that the servant of the Lord was sleeping. And God woke him up and he said, y'all, it's me. I'm the problem. Just throw me overboard and it'll all go away. And they said, all right, I just want you to know this ain't on us. You want us to do this, right? And he said, you did it. And he threw him overboard. We know that the fish followed him up. We know that he was in that belly, that thing for 3 days, 3 nights, amen. And we know that he prayed and he said he was sorry and he had a willingness to do what was right. And that fish spewed out of his mouth right back where he failed the Lord. And God gave him a second chance. You know what God said? The Bible says the word of the Lord came to him a second time.
Right.
Oh, I'm so glad God gives us a second chance. Amen. It came to him a second time. And what did the word of the Lord say? He said, rise up, Jonah, and go over to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. So they opened it. What was the message that he was to say? Involve repentance. I mean, it was one sentence. I think he went in there, he probably looked like a zombie. Had been in that belly, that acid, that well for 3 days and 3 nights. He probably looked messed up. And he went through to that city with millions of people there, and he began to cry against it. Y'all all going to die if you don't repent and believe in God. You're all going to be destroyed. Nineveh's going to be destroyed if you don't repent and believe in God. Look to God for salvation. And he went through the whole city preaching the gospel of repentance. And don't you know, they all repented. He got scared of the whole city. Because if somebody was willing to preach a message of repentance. We need some churches in our country to step up and just start preaching again. Maybe this message is for me tonight. I need to step up and be the preacher God's called me to be. We need to have some soul winners in the church, amen? That are going out here to these highways and hedges and speak to people about how they can be saved. How they can know God. We can't hide and sleep in the belly of the storm. We need to wake up. It's time to get back to work. Amen. Lord help us. Even so, Lord Jesus. Number two. Not only do we need the preaching of repentance, let me add this. We need the prayers and the praying of repentance. It's one thing to preach the message of repentance. It's something more to pray the words of repentance. It's something altogether different to confess to the Lord our need for change, our need to reform, our need of revival and religious awakening. There's a story in the New Testament of a prodigal son who, forsaking the love and adoration and security of the father, he ran from his father and went and lived his own life, thought he had it all figured out. Bible teaches us that he wasted his substance. He wasted everything in the far country. Sin will take you farther than you're ever willing to go. It'll take you to places you were never intended to visit. It'll keep you longer than you're willing to stay. It'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. And Bible teaches us the prodigal son went to the far country, and there he wasted his father's substance. A wild living and a sin and a washing it every time. And you know, I got to thinking about that, Brother John. I thought that we always read that as though that happened so quickly. I think he was down and out for weeks and months, maybe years, where he was in this condition. And his money started to get lower, and his health started to depreciate. And all of his friends decided to slowly forsake him. And my friend, because he lost all his money, and he started to lose out. When you don't have money, nobody wants to be your friend. Ain't that funny how it works? Bible says he got to looking around. He had no job. He had no food. He probably was lacking in clothing. It took everything that he had. And the Bible says that he started to work for a fellow eating pigs, which for a Jew was the lowest job in town. And he started to desire to eat the food the pigs would eat. And so he was sat in his mind. And he said, how much better do even the servants of my father's house have? He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'll rise up. I'll go to my father. And I'll say, Father, I have sinned. That's repentance. Bible says he not only prayed about it, but he got up and he went to the Father. And we know the rest of the story. There's going to come times in your life when, even as a Christian, you kneel down beside your bed at night. And the flesh says, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't get close to God. Don't get close to God. The Spirit says, confess your faults. The Spirit says, pour your heart out to the Lord. The world says, don't just be tough and hardcore like everybody else, like they got it all figured out. The Spirit says, no. Draw nigh to me with a pure heart, and I will draw nigh to you. And you have a decision if I'm going to pray or not. When you kneel down at the bed and you start to pray, you say, I have sinned. Boy, something miraculous happens. Some people don't know how to say, Lord, I'm sorry. They don't know how to say, I have sinned. But when you read the story of God as a father, and the prodigal son, said, I have sinned. David, when he committed his awful sin, and his sin was found out, what did he say? I have sinned. I have sinned. What would have happened today? We say that America says they are like what? What's the population in America? 300 million people right now? And it says numbers, there is a statistic out there that says 80-90% of people in America are professing Christians. What would happen if those 90% of people went each and every one of their homes tonight and they begin to cry out to God, I have sinned. I have sinned. I have sinned, Lord. I have sinned, God. I'm coming home. I have sinned. Lord, I'm leaving the far country. I'm leaving the pigs. This time I mentioned this mediocrity. Lord, this ain't your will for me. I have sinned. I think God would heal our pain. I believe that with all of my spirit and soul and everything that is within me. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. We need prayers and repentance. That's what I'm saying tonight. What about church prayers? Should the world, not personal prayer, but church prayers. I was reading a little bit about John Wesley and George Whitfield before I came to the church tonight. That's probably happened to me. Why I'm a little cranked up tonight. But they swept the continents of the world. Preaching the gospel of repentance and revival. George Whitfield, the great preacher there, the 1700s, I was just meditating and reading through his last sermon that he preached to an old co-writer that would come out to hear him give one more gospel message. He was standing right at that festival again, and he stood up on the balcony, and he lit a candle in his weary body, in his decaying body. Nobody preached and seemed to more souls than George Whitfield ever seemed like. He was a great, almost like an apostle in the 1700s. He got up there and he said, I'll preach until the light goes out. And he left that candle and he preached to them coal mines and them rough bodies there. And the story goes that he preached the gospel to them on how they needed to not trust in their works, but trust in Jesus Christ to be saved and repent of sin and believe the gospel. The Bible, the story says that thousands of people would cry to heaven for salvation, and that the Bible spread all across England and all over North America, and thousands of souls were saved in America because of the great preacher, Brother George Whitfield. And the story says that at night, when the candle burned out, he went to sleep and didn't wake up again. His candle was over, and he died and preached the gospel until the light went out.
What a way to go. The church needs to not step back. They need to go forward. We're an army of the Lord. We need to go forward in our prayers. Amen. How about naturally? In 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's speaking to a nation.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to say that God's people are His people. Believers. And he said, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's what I hear from heaven. We need to pray of repentance, and thirdly, we need the practicing of repentance. Listen to what I mean by this. It means we do what we pray for. We commit to the Lord our Savior and God. We follow our prayer. We actually obey His words. We don't just ask faith to obey Him. We go and we literally do it. Today, the only night which we had in my trailer, I had so much junk in my trailer for weeks, probably a couple of months. And it's always on. Maybe you got to know that trailer. It stinks. It's starting to smell that. You got all that junk on there. I wouldn't get anything done for the woman. Well, today I just got this inspiration to get up and go put the trailer up and go down. So I'm in the other village. And we drove over to the landing and went on there and got on the scale and waited and everything told me what to do. And I drove the trailer up there and I had to wait my turn. Somebody else finished dumping their junk, their garbage, and their trash before I could dump my garbage, my junk, and my trash. But I got it done. All my garbage and all my trash and all my junk. My trailer was clean tonight. Y'all listen to me? I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm glad we have a place when our trailer gets full. We can go dump. I'm glad we have a place when the cares of this life, the burdens and the problems and the sins and the wickedness in our heart, I'm glad when our trailer fills up with junk, we can hook it up in prayer and go to the great landfill of God's mercy and dump it on the Lord Jesus Christ, who plans to forgive and to make the trailer clean again. Thank God we can go to Him in prayer. I do something else too that I shouldn't do, but can do again. Read on the budget, you can be straight down. Brother Bradley, with 3 kids in the house, the trash fills up quick. Them 13-gallon bags do not last a long time. We'll get the trash bag filled up within hours almost, it seems like. Hey, Grandma, Mr. Connolly, we'll get the trash filled up. We tie it up, and we pick it up, put a new one in. We look at it, and I'm like, we'll take care of this trash. I look over at Isaac. Isaac, get that trash. But me, I get the trash. We got that green dumpster that the little dolly won't get all this removal garbage can dumpster thing. It fits separate bags in there. Well, I just go outside, walk around, throw it in there, and I'm done with it. Look at you split, I ain't got to go very far, but I just was right there. The problem is, I'll have 7 or 8 bags sitting there for weeks. Now you think, Pastor, surely you're not that irresponsible. Well, like I said, I'm not a great sinless person. I have sin in my life. My wife will get on me and she'd say, says, you need to take the trash down. I said, I'll take it down when I'm ready to take it down. I don't want to take it down now. It's way so long. So I'll wait. And then it starts to smell. And then it becomes a problem. It gets harder to take it and empty it the longer that I wait. So what she wants to do, her policy is now it's when the trash is getting full in the house, tie it and walk it down to the dumpster, take it to the car, and dump it one at a time. That would be a daily, go down to the dumpster down here, walk the little road, or put it in the car in the trunk, drive down the dumpster. Now I'm not complaining. I want y'all to hear. I'm grateful. I want you to hear what I'm saying tonight. And here's what I do. I don't want to do it every day. When my junk gets full, I want to put it over here in this bin, and then I'm going to wait and see, and I'm going to manage my junk. I'm going to manage my garbage. I'm going to listen to so much of it, but I know how much I can get. I know how close to the edge I can get. There's a story of a lady, a man, or a queen that was looking for a chauffeur. A queen. And she put the application out there, and she asked three persons. One person, she said, now let's suppose we're driving over by the edge of the cliff. She said, how close to the edge of that cliff can you get without getting hurt? And the first guy said, I think I could probably get 96 inches to the edge of that thing, and I'll be a good chauffeur and get you through. It won't be a problem, ma'am. She said, thank you. The next person came in and asked the same question. She said, mister, I know you're applying for the chauffeur job. Let's pretend there's a cliff right here. Your chauffeur being around in the car. How close to the edge do you think you can get without killing us? How good of a driver are you? He thought for a second. He said, is this serious? She said, yes. He said, I think I can get you right to the rubber. It's just over the edge of that cliff, just a centimeter. I think I can get you that close. She said, all right, baby son. There's one more I got to interview. The third one came in there, and she asked him, how close to the edge can you get chauffeur me around safely without going off the edge? He said, ma'am, I ain't getting within any drive distance to an edge if I possibly can. I'm staying clear of the edge if I possibly can. Now, guess who got the job? And I think the same time of us. We'll sit there and we'll say, well, I don't need to deal with this yet. I'll just go put it over here in the green bucket. I'll just let it build up. I can manage it. I can manage my sin, my wickedness. If I can keep a little lip on in here, if I can control a little bit, manage it a little bit, that's all we're doing. But what God wants is when the trash is full, He wants you to take it to the dumpster in prayer, amen. And He wants you to confess it to the Lord. He wants your hands to be clean so you can serve Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Don't do as I do and let the trash get filled. Have the faith that says, you know what? The trash is full today, Lord. I need to get this out of the house. Amen. Yes. Amen. We need to do. Sometimes people will say things like, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Good. I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. Pray for me. You pray for me, we need to pray for one another. But sometimes you got to ask yourself a question. You're praying about changing. Are you changing? Well, Lord, pray for me. I need to repent. No, you just do the repentance. You don't put this simple to me, Lord, pray that you give me free from this addiction. You pray about something or another. You just need to stop. You say, Lord, I need to get back in church and pray back. No, you just need to cut the time back and wake up and go to church. Well, I pray that I quit doing this and I need to straighten up and look. Well, quit praying about it because God is not doing it. That's repentance. That's repentance. And God says, when He sees 99 just eight persons that have no need of repentance, that only makes the news in heaven. But He says, when He sees one sinner, God's going to say, y'all calm down, you're starting to break things up in here. We just leaned this tree to go, y'all making it stopped up, angel, settle down. the Bible and fell and went into the church. He didn't get to lift up his eyes. And he said, "Oh, God, I'm so glad that you have blessed me so much, Lord. I'm able to give of all my talents and things, all the way down to the minutest detail, Lord, you've blessed me. Father, I thank you that I'm not like that old publican that I passed up on the way. Who won't even, he's not even worthy to come into the inner court here, but he's got to worship in the shadows with his face covered. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. I'm glad, Lord, I've been able to exceed everybody else, and I'm above them, and I don't do this, and I don't do this. I'm above the Smiths and the Joneses." Oh, that's your sin. But he's praying this self-righteously. But over in the corner, there's a little old fella here. Maybe he was a truck driver. Maybe he was a tradesman of some kind. Maybe he was just a single dad. Maybe he was just a humble preacher. The Bible says he was a publican, a sinner. The Bible says Jesus said he wouldn't even lift up his eyes, but he looked down. He didn't stretch up his hands to heaven as though he had a claim on God. The Bible says he beat his heart. He smote himself. Then he said, "Father, Lord God, have mercy upon me." He said, you know why he was hitting himself in the chest? Because he knew where the sin was in you. And Jesus said, that sinner went home justified more than that self-righteous person. All I'm saying is this, church. You're here because you love God. You're trying to do the right thing in your life and honor the Lord. And God willing, the church is going to get filled back up and grow, and the place is going to be on the floor. Amen. That's what we want. I'm saying something careful. There are churches out there that seemingly are like those 99 jets. God ain't even paying attention to it. God ain't. He wants to see, is there anybody here that's new repentant, that has truly repented? That is where the church starts. So tonight I want to ask you, come to the altar. The message is over. I'm not trying to guilt trip you. Just check and see if there be anything there. Like the psalmist said, "Lord, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Maybe you've got a loved one, friend that's out of fellowship with God. Somebody that you feel probably should be in the house of the Lord tonight. You'd like to pray for them? That God will give them an opportunity to repent. Lord, please make sure you have my whole heart. Pray for our country. Pray for your church. Pray for your